me wanted to see that.
Hour two, kicking off here in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two, brought to you by our friends at Craft Axe Throwing, Knoxville's premier entertainment destination. Go by and see our friends. They support us. Go support them. Go throw some axes. Get your hands on some knives, some ninja stars. I had a dream last night I was throwing knives.
Were you good?
I wasn't at Craft Axe Throwing. I was out in the streets. Also, I had a dream I went to jail, and I woke up, and I was so happy it was a dream.
Throwing knives in the streets?
No, I don't know why I went to jail, but I woke up and I was in jail and it was a whole thing. And then at one point I was having to smuggle money out of jail and I was supposed to put it like in a cookie box and walk out and then like just casually like just try to walk past and like deliver some money to like take back home. And it was a whole thing. I've been rewatching Breaking Bad. I don't know if it's related to that or what.
So,
but
wait, who are you throwing knives at?
I don't know. Just one of my ops, bro.
Were you?
I got ops.
Were you good?
Yeah.
Were you accurate?
Yeah.
You made it out.
Yeah. I got arrested. I didn't die though. Then I woke up and I was so happy it was a dream. I was so happy it was a dream.
It's always it's really nice when you realize you're.
I realized it.
It's like a top five feeling when you had bad dream and you get come to and realize it's reality. Because I always have. I mean, I think I've told you about it before, where you know how I wake up like confused, scared in the mornings.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know if you told me about that. You got night terrors or something? You all right?
No, I have such vivid and realistic dreams, and they like play out so slowly that I get like I think they're real.
Okay.
And then every morning, like, I live out sometimes in dreams day by day, year by year, lifetimes.
It is weird when a dream goes multiple days.
Like, lifetimes.
It does happen.
Like, I've lived out, getting
Adam
married.
Sandler, you go through a whole
like,
life.
Getting married, yeah, like, all kinds of crazy stuff, and it all feels so realistic. And then when I wake up, like, I don't know where I'm at for a minute, and I, like, it really takes me, like, a minute or two to kind of just collect myself and, like, okay.
How do you know this isn't a dream?
That was a dream. You're in your bed,
an avatar
Knoxville.
Situation. You sleep, you're waking up somewhere else. When you sleep there, you wake up somewhere else too, you know?
I don't know if I'm familiar with
Do
that.
Do not put that in my head. I don't ever want to.
That's how they got
that.
Into like the avatar bodies. They would like go to sleep as a person and then they'd wake up in the alien body. And when they went to sleep as an alien, they would wake up as a person.
I thought it was because they put their pod thing in the avatar's pod things.
No, that's how they have sex.
But I thought.
Is that the Matrix you're thinking of? They get hooked up to wires and
stuff? Matrix.
Oh. I don't really understand.
But no,
when I
and
do
that's
stuff
why
like that.
That's why the guy got confused because it was like blurring his line
but
to reality.
The whole thing was like, wait a second, like the same way that these things are having sex,
we're
like
to be
the
doing
same way that
right now.
They connected to like the animals they were riding.
Yeah, okay.
It was weird.
Yeah.
James Cameron says stop asking about it.
I got a good ability of like waking myself or realizing I'm in a dream when I'm in the dream. So I feel like that's a little bit.
Actually, I do lucid dreams sometimes too though, and then I can control them.
Well, I can't control them. But
it's hard to control them, but if it takes practice,
real,
you can.
Mm-hmm. But be careful practicing lucid dreamer. Disclaimer to anybody out there, because if you mess it up, you have like night terrors.
Yeah.
Sleep paralysis. That's what you get. You get sleep paralysis
also
if you mess
terrifying.
Up your lucid dreaming.
I got one where I drive off a bridge a lot, and I always wake up when I hit the water, and I'm like, that happens to me a lot.
I have sometimes where I get grabbed by like a bad figure, and that jolts me up.
That's a good one. Figure. That's a good one.
But sometimes I dream that I wake up from dreams. But it's still a dream. So like I'll hurt myself in the dream and then I'll wake up and then I'll still be dreaming,
wow,
but I don't realize that I'm dreaming. So then I'll dream that like I woke up, but I'm still hurting. And then that's when I realize, oh, you're dreaming that you woke up. And then I wake up a second time.
It is a good feeling. Anyways, craft axe throwing. Go throw some axes. Enjoy some of the local craft beers. They got TVs to catch the game. Located just minutes from downtown Knoxville. Make it a weekend thing with your friends, a date night, or just go in the middle of the week. Blow off some steam, throw some axes, tell them we sent you. Send some hour two headlines. Cam, what do you got?
All right. Browns have lost receiver Jakeem Grant for the season with a torn Achilles. There's been a lot of just kind of little training camp injuries, it seems like, this year as far as like season-ending ones.
Now, Jakeem Grant's not much of a receiver, but he's like an all-pro returner, right?
Yeah, he's an all-pro return man, and they said he was trending to have a bigger role in the receiving game this year from camp. But, Achilles injury took him down. Like I said, it seems like there's been a lot of kind of season-ending injuries to an extent through the first week or so of training camp here. Don't know what's causing
ones?
That trip.
Besides Becton? Him and Becton? Are those the
Tim
only two?
Patrick.
Okay, yeah.
There's been just like it hasn't always been big names, but it seems like one or two guys on like teams have just gone down.
Is that unusual? I feel like we always get
that's every day, though.
A couple of these.
There's just, you get two injuries a day.
Yeah, I don't feel like they've all been like season ending, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's what kind of seems a little different from me. Bucks got lucky today. They had their backup center, you know, with Jensen already out. Their backup center got carted off the field today as well, but it ends up he was just having cramps. Outside of that, they did have Russell Gage go down with a injury. I haven't seen any updates on what that injury was, but it was a leg issue. Not sure if it was just a knee or just like ankle or lower extremity down there, things like that. But yeah, the trend of people that betrayed the Falcons getting hurt, that continues, and just injuries in general.
I think I'm buying Saints stock.
Why?
Because I think the Bucs are going to have a season from hell, and I don't think anybody else in that division is going to be good enough. Sorry. I'm just not backing Mariota. I'm sorry. I've been there before, bro. I got off that narcotic. I'm not getting back. Like, I'm clean.
This is going to win comeback player of the year.
He might. Probably not, but he might. Like, I'll back Jameis Winston or the King. But Mariota, like, hey, I have no ill will towards him. I'm just not getting back on that drug. I got clean. So I think I'm selling my Bucs stock, and I'm buying Saints stock.
Okay.
Or maybe I should buy Dolphins stock, because I saw like that the Dolphins receivers were whipping the Bucs secondary's ass in their joint practice. Yeah, they said Waddle and Tyreek were destroying those boys.
Was Tua actually like throwing them the football?
Well, I saw that Bridgewater threw a couple of deep shots to Sanders and whoever the hell Uzukanma is. I don't know.
Yeah.
All I saw is that him and Sanders burned some DBs, and they said Waddle and Tyreek got free on shorter routes, and Waddle ran it through like the whole defense and scored a touchdown, like they couldn't catch him. So, like, I think I'm buying Dolphin stock and selling Buck stock. That's my football report coming out of the state of Florida.
The transition of Florida.
I'm Gators just surprised stink. They're allowed to have joint training camp.
I think it's cool.
I think it's more.
I think it's more competitive than the preseason games. Like,
no,
honestly.
I think they're fun. I meant like specifically with the Dolphins and the Bucks, given that a week ago
it was already scheduled.
Your people got suspended,
and it's just more convenient to be like, we don't have to leave states; we can just be in the same state. That's cool.
We had the Bucks last year. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah,
we had them a couple years.
I thought we might do that again just because Vrabel and Brady are boys.
Who
but
do we have this year?
I don't know. I don't know actually. It'll be somebody before we play in the preseason. So like, I don't know. Did we play the Bucks last year in the preseason?
Yeah.
So that's probably why. If you have a preseason game, usually you do like the camp before the preseason game, and that's when the starters are actually out there, and it's a little bit more competitive. Who's our next preseason game after the Ravens?
After the Ravens, it's the Bucks and Nissan.
Well, maybe we do it with the Bucks next week then.
I just figured with them already being in Miami, I didn't know if they would or not. And then we have the Cardinals the next week.
Okay. I don't know if they do it right before like preseason game 3, because that's like when the season gets started.
I forgot, it's only 3 preseason games. Oh, that week's going to be.
Which that makes me mad, by the way, that the Chargers for his damn tickets. For season ticket holders. You got to pay full price for preseason tickets. So stupid.
Makes me mad that they cut a week off of the preseason.
Why? You're the only person in America who's mad about the preseason game shorter. Oh, okay, sorry.
But they still just didn't like give us the regular season a week earlier.
Yeah, that bye week.
Like, yeah, you still got to wait 4 weeks.
What?
We don't even give you.
You play inside a dome.
You would be complaining if they moved it up a week earlier and they were, this is supposed to be college football's time. College football week 1 is now trumped by the NFL. We're supposed to get the Sunday night, Monday night college football game on Labor Day. That's what you would be saying then. Tell me I'm wrong.
I have 4 TVs, John. I don't need them.
You would be wrong. If the NFL trumped them on Sunday night and Monday night and they didn't get to do their little triple header thing, you'd be mad.
I don't
about
care
that.
What the NFL does in terms of like trying to trump the college for the NFL, because I have 4 TVs.
You would be mad.
NFL, college, you together.
You would be mad. Frank Gore finds himself in some trouble.
Yeah.
I don't think you should transition into fighting, because can't be good for the brain after a long, long career of running into people, but he is in trouble for grabbing a naked woman by the hair and dragging her across a hotel room's hallway during an altercation in Atlantic City last month, according to a new bombshell court documents obtained by TMZ Sports.
Yeah, not great for Frank.
Yeah, not good for Frank. Not good for Frank. Poor Frank. I think a lot of people like Frank Gore, too.
I like Frank Gore.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has anything bad to say about Frank Gore.
It's really disappointing.
Until this.
It's really sad.
Darren Williams whipped his ass, and
yes, okay.
And now this. It's all downhill for Frank Gore.
Now, I really need his son to turn out good, so we can have a new Frank Gore to root for, since
always have a
old Frank Gore has ruined it.
I think I'm rooting against his son now.
Oh, come on. His son gave us such a fun game last year.
Who's his son play for? Southern Miss? Okay. What fun game did Southern Miss give us last year?
When Southern Miss starting, backup, third string, and two walk-on quarterbacks were all hurt. Frank Gore played quarterback for a game. Oh, and it was it was a really bad Southern Miss team. And all of a sudden, they played their best game of the year, and Frank Gore threw like a couple passing touchdowns that weren't bad. It was really fun.
That does sound fun.
It was like a Thursday night, maybe.
Yeah. I was probably out trying to have sex with a woman.
Well, was it successful?
Probably not, actually.
Yeah, then who had the better night?
Probably you watching Frank Gore Jr. Go ahead, Cam.
Steelers wide receiver, Deontay Johnson, is being sued for allegedly not showing up to his own youth camp.
Luckily, he's got some money now to pay for the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Did they have people there in his place?
No. Apparently, they
told no one showed up.
Apparently, they told people 13 minutes before the camp that he wasn't going to be there.
Oh no.
It was a scheduled camp for May 22nd at Couples Stadium in Pittsburgh. Not sure what team that is or what's. Who's associated with that. It was a $125 admission fee that included a team photo with Johnson, a t-shirt, and assorted goodies. With more interactions with the Pro Bowler available for an increased price. So, yeah, 13 minutes before the start of camp, they reportedly alleged that Johnson's agents informed the organizers of the camp that Johnson's flight had been canceled the previous night and he would arrive later in the day.
What city was this in again?
In Pittsburgh.
Oh, it's in Pittsburgh? Okay.
Yeah.
You can't really do this in the home city where you play.
They then established that Johnson did not want to wait for a second flight and left the airport.
Okay, now that I know it was a travel mix-up, I kind of feel for DeJounte because traveling sucks, and once you start getting those delayed flights, you're like, no, forget this. I'm not going. I'm out. I'm staying. So he's getting sued.
They're claiming he agreed to pay a cancellation fee of $2,250 as well as cover flex work. I guess who's putting it on. Expenses. Flexwork claims it has refunded $36,000 in registration fees back to campers' families while also issuing that much in credit to mitigate the damage. It also claims expenses for the camp, including photographer fees, hotel, and flights, amounted to more than $10,000.
So they're basically suing for $100,000, or are they trying to get damage for the kids, too? Or the little
they're basically
kids
trying to get all that covered.
Got emotional distress. They want $1 million.
There's no amount of money that can make up for the dreams that he crushed.
That's true.
Yeah,
I was going to say, who the hell is that big of a
DeJounte Johnson
fan? But
bad.
I guess if they're in Pittsburgh, that makes sense. What level is the Fredericksburg Nationals, Charlie? Single A?
Yeah.
Then the Carolina League, is that single A? Trey Lipscomb made his debut last night.
No, they're high A.
High A? Okay. Went 2-for-5, hit a 3-run bomb, and an RBI single, drove in 4 runs. So Trey Lipscomb balling out. Seems like all the balls are balling out so far. It's almost like they're a really good baseball team. I know that they're doing it at low levels right now, but they're doing what they're supposed to do, which is crush that pitching. So I'd imagine those guys continue to kind of get promoted or at least continue to get pushed up the organization a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Trey Lipscomb was, as a Nationals fan, the pick that I was most excited about, not just because he was a Vol, but because I actually just think he will become a big league first or third baseman. And we don't really have a ton of third baseman depth in our farm system, so I'm excited to see his debut go well. It's about Trey Lipscomb.
It's about your Nationals organization.
No, it's about me calling him my favorite draft pick.
That's fine.
Pro Trey Lipscomb.
It's about Trey Lipscomb.
About him playing well.
Yeah. It's not about the Nationals.
Great debut.
Let's move on. Go back to headlines.
It relates to the Nationals.
What about old boy you drafted last year or 2 years ago that was going to come here? Top 10 pick for Tennessee. That didn't
Brady House.
Tennessee. Yeah, is he doing any good?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He was in the Futures game. Was he in the Futures game? Or did he? Yeah, he was in the Futures
game. The Futures game that was last night, like in the cornfield? They did some type of young,
the one that was
there, right?
Before the All-Star game.
Oh, okay. That one, yeah.
The important one. Him and Dusty Baker's son were the two from the Nationals.
Dusty Baker's son any good?
He's played well. He's not like a highly rated prospect.
Was it the son that got picked up on the home plate or no?
I don't know.
I think we talked about this before.
Probably.
Let's move on.
I want to talk more Nats.
No, that was good enough. I'm glad for VFL Brady House. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, got some Tennessee basketball news.
Oh.
We don't have the conference schedule broken down yet, right? We just got our opponents, not the dates. Am I correct?
Yes, unless okay. I mean, unless I've missed the release of the dates, which I'm pretty sure I haven't. Just have the opponents.
So we now have all of Tennessee's opponents as the non-conference schedule got released, but this has the dates, so we know what dates the non-conference games are, but we still don't have the conference like order, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so Tennessee going to have a couple of big non-conference games. Neutral site against Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same weekend that the Titans play the Broncos, if I'm not mistaken. Ooh. Is that game on Sunday?
Yeah, it is, because I wanted to go to that game, but I just...
That's a tough break that, like... Yeah,
I don't know what time the game will be.
Yeah, it's kind
of
a tough break.
Not at the same time. It would
have been cool if it was a Saturday, and then you could go to both and look a weekend there. But either way, so we got Colorado coming to Nashville. Going to do a neutral site game with them. Of course, you got your preseason tournament in the Battle for Atlantis, where you're playing at least Butler and then one of USC BYU.
And then one of Kansas, Dayton, Wisconsin. Wisconsin? Is that the other one?
I think Wisconsin was the other one.
And
yeah, but
I don't remember the fourth.
Yeah.
I don't know how the bracket works.
You'll play Butler, and then you'll play the winner, assuming we beat Butler, which we will. We'll play the winner of USC-BYU, which I'd imagine would be USC, but I don't really know why. Is there any other Mobleys running around there? And then you get Maryland in Brooklyn, which hopefully goes better than when you played Texas Tech in New York City last year. That did not go well. That was a very ugly game. That was no fun.
I
will say it did kind of make me fall in love with that Texas Tech team, and I did enjoy watching them last year.
I love that Texas Tech team.
Yeah, I did enjoy watching them. But then they lost their best player to Kansas, so it kind of sucks for them. But we play Maryland. I don't know what type of team are they supposed to be. Are they supposed to be any good?
Kevin Willard just took that job, trying to rebuild that roster.
So probably not going to be good then, if you're telling me that.
You should be.
First-year coach, rebuild.
Yeah, you got a couple of first-year coaches on here with Thad Matta.
Yeah. Now, I'll say that obviously Thad Matta has proven a lot at both Butler and Ohio State. So I would imagine he is going to have them at least a little bit more competitive than
they got
Maryland
some transfers
is.
In there they like.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the. We got our bracketology released, and like Maryland's not in it. So, like.
Which, like, I don't think Butler is either, but
close.
Like.
Sure.
Wouldn't be surprising if they made a run and pushed for it. I would be pretty surprised if Maryland did.
You got Arizona. Who I would imagine is not going to be as good as they were last year since they lost a top, 10 pick. I believe they're...
I mean, they also lost, what, Coloco, too?
Yeah, they lost a bunch of guys.
So also, what, their two best players or two of their three best players?
Which, they're a program that has the ability to reload.
For sure. They're projected to be a 5 seed right now, so...
Not as good as the top 10 team they were a year ago.
Right. I mean, they're top 5 team for most of the year, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and that's... You think that'll be a hard place to play?
I think so. I mean, I just think playing...
Like, that close to Christmas, though?
It's December 17th, so, I mean, the students will be gone, which I guess will be nice. I just think that's a proud basketball program, and Tennessee should be coming in there as a top, 15 team? I'm pretty confident Tennessee will be a top 15 team in December, looking at this non-conference schedule, especially, I don't see very many losses. You might lose to, someone in the Battle for Atlantis, but other than that, you should be undefeated. Tennessee Tech should be a win. Colorado should be a win. Florida Gulf Coast should be a win. Like I said, the Battle for Atlantis, you may be coming there with one loss. McNeese State, Alcorn State, Eastern Kentucky, Maryland. Like, Tennessee should be in there, 9-1 or so.
I like that we switched up some of the small schools you play.
Yeah, yeah.
I was getting tired of seeing, High Point and Longwood and, all those North Carolina schools over and over again.
Yep, mix it up a little bit. So, that Arizona game, and plus they owe us because we made them mad last year. I was going to say we embarrassed them. We didn't embarrass them. Well, they should kind of be embarrassed because John Fulkerson whipped their ass, and John Fulkerson of last year is, it's embarrassing to let him whip your ass.
Come on, man. You don't remember that hammer dunk he had in the 3v3 tournament?
Again, he showed some flashes at Tennessee. I saw he did at Rupp Arena a couple years ago, but last year's John Fulkerson, especially at that time, wasn't very good, and he absolutely whipped their front line's ass, mostly by drawing fouls, but still, the points count the same. So Arizona, I think, will be pretty juiced up for that, but no, it won't be like a full-fledged – atmosphere that you're used to where the students were all there going crazy, but it'll still be a fun game. I'm excited for that one. Austin Peay to get you to the Christmas break, and then Texas at the end of January, January 28th. They come to Knoxville, which we're kind of in the opposite situation of the Arizona situation where we owe Texas they didn't embarrass us. It was kind of similar. Big lead, you get it cut down, you feel like you should win, you come up a little short, and you're kind of mad about it. Arizona probably felt they were better than Tennessee last year. I felt we were better than Texas. I'm glad we're kind of running both of those back. Those are good programs.
To me, I look at the schedule and, like, your floor should be 9-2 at the end of non-conference play. Not including the Texas game, because that's in January. But heading into SEC play, your floor should be 9-2. Like, I could see you dropping one in the battle for Atlantis and at Arizona.
No, I agree with that.
But if you're, you know, 8-3 or worse, you lost a game that, you know, you shouldn't have, that's a surprising loss.
Any of those losses would be bad. Like, I don't know, you know, if Colorado is going to be basically where they always are, which is like 75th in RPI, you know, hanging around like anywhere from there to like 100.
I'm trying to think what they
have. I don't even
do
RPI anymore, but net ranking. But, like, losing to them would be embarrassing, especially in Tennessee. And any of the other losses, like, you know, I just told you, Tennessee Tech, McNeese State, like, all those losses would be catastrophic.
Kevin Murphy walking through that door.
Get to conference play, and we've already talked about the conference schedule where you look at Tennessee, and what did we come up with? Was it 15-3, 14-4? 14-4, I believe, was that kind of what we thought you should go in conference?
Right, so.
Get you where you're typically
been. Throw one against Texas, so 10-2 and 14-4.
I think that's
24-6, like that.
I think that's a fair.
Feels pretty fair all around.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
Which, I mean, I don't think that's being a homer. I remember when we went through the conference schedule, we were pretty liberal with giving a loss whenever we thought, maybe could win. But we went ahead and gave a couple losses of games that Tennessee, you know, has a chance to win. Same as Arizona. Like, Tennessee, especially if,
should
you
be
know,
at least on par with that.
Especially
team.
If Julian Phillips is good. Like, I mean, Tennessee should not go into Arizona thinking we're losing that game. It'll be a tough game, but it'll be one that you're probably a pick 'em or, you know, 2 or 3 point underdog in. But I don't think we're being a homer, because whenever Lenardi put out his bracketology this morning, he did have Tennessee getting back to a 2 seed.
Really?
Yep. As Tennessee as a 2 seed, I mean, the regions don't really matter, but if you are interested in that, the 2 seed in the Greensboro region, which puts you in the East, and, you know.
Where are the Fire Sweet 16 Elite Eight locations this year?
I know Louisville, I think, has one again, if I'm not mistaken. But other than that, I don't know. I just know Louisville's like out.
Okay, I thought it might just be in the bracketology.
It's not. They just have the first like two rounds where those like first ones are. But again, like,
to go to another basketball game in Louisville.
I will make the trip to Louisville if Tennessee is in the tournament and plays there in the, you know, the second round, third round or so.
I think it would just be too traumatic.
Well, what was it Dan Campbell said last night? If you're still pissing like a puppy, stay on the porch.
That was Jamal.
Big dogs.
You would have known if you would have watched it like a real football guy.
I am a football guy.
I'm starting to think you're a fake
football
guy.
It was good.
I told you I've checked out on football. I've been telling you guys that since the Titans lost to the Bengals. I've been very open about being checked out on football. I'm telling you, I got a little bit more into
it. How about you grow a pair of man up a little bit and check back in?
I guess I'm pissing like a puppy. That's why I'm staying on the porch.
Stay on the porch.
That's why I'm on the porch.
We're some dogs. We're running around in the yard.
I'm on the porch. I'm on the porch. But I'm not sitting here saying I'm scared to go watch a basketball game in Louisville.
One of my buddies texted me that too. And like, I watched it after it had aired, so I was really confused for a good hour and a half while he just randomly texted me, "If you're going to piss like a puppy, stay on the porch."
Is that when Jamal Williams was crying in the huddle?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
He did himself some favors. There will be some people that draft him a couple rounds too early in fantasy because of that quote.
Yeah.
He's going to be a breakout winner here.
I'm all in on him. See? But then I remember he's on the Detroit Lions and not even their starting running back.
Yeah, but like, they're like a poor man's Green Bay, where they got Aaron Jones and the guy with the thick thighs now. Let me think. I'll get his
but,
name.
Dylan.
Hold on.
But they're like a rich man's Houston Texan with Duke Johnson and like Rex Burkhead or whatever that was.
I was going to say, I hope. Is Duke Johnson still there?
I don't really know, man. It's a D Johnson. There's always a
it was
D
David Johnson.
Johnson
for a while, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's D Johnsons that just kind of float
remember
around.
They trade Hopkins for him. I was going to get there on AJ Dillon. I'm not that far removed from football, just for the record. But I am pissing like a pup. That
we
is
can do
true.
Some start fancy talk soon.
That is true. Fancy talk is coming up.
Oh, I got to get my leagues in order.
I do too. I'm not set up yet.
I got to figure out if I have enough money for all the leagues I want to be in.
Yeah, that too.
Tennessee as a 2 seed would obviously be a success, right? Like, I mean, that would be that's a nice surprise to see them projected that high, because I feel like last year Lenardi was pretty low on Tennessee for most of the year.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of expecting Joe Lardy to be low on Tennessee again.
Right.
Maybe he's just kind of scared after his little incident at the end of the year where every Tennessee fan That's just true. Got mad at him for a full 24 hours.
That was a bad look for him. I don't want to let him off the hook.
He was right, but it also was a bad look.
Well, he was right, but like he had the unenviable task of trying to defend the selection committee whenever the selection committee was just kind of making stuff up. That's essentially what
maybe,
happened.
Maybe this is him just throwing us a bone, just like, hey, remember back in August?
I
had you guys,
a
2 seed.
I believed in you guys.
You can't say that I'm biased against you now when I'm putting you as a 3 seed when you should be a 2, because I had you as a 2.
It does feel good. And I know we've talked about it. I know, you know, everyone kind of agrees this isn't like a hot take or anything, but it's still worth mentioning. It's nice to be excited for all 3 sports.
It's like the best thing ever.
I mean, really, throw in the Lady Vols. I mean, they should be trending upwards. Like, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I'm
excited. You got that Mississippi State transfer.
Right, I'm not going to pretend like I'm excited to watch them because I don't really watch women's basketball unless Candace Parker's playing. That's about it. Like, I watch my WNBA.
Against us on Louisville.
Yeah, if Candace is playing, like, I'll tune in there. I'll watch the Lady Vols, but I'm not going to pretend like I'm excited. But they still seem to be trending upwards. But, like, football, I'm excited to watch us play. I'm not as excited as you guys because I'm trying to keep, you know, pace myself. But the basketball team, I'm really excited about Julian Phillips. And they're doing the right things behind the scenes and saying the right things about Julian Phillips. Nothing gets me going than like a 5-star top 20 player that, like, yeah, this guy's also a gym rat and is the first person in the gym and the last person in the gym. Like, he's always in here shooting and trying to get better. That means a lot to me. That's a good thing to say. If you have a 5-star talent and a 5-star work ethic, that makes me excited to watch you play. Especially whenever he's not going to have physical limitations,
again,
like Kenny
also,
Chandler had, or
I feel
Keon
like
Johnson had, a
flying
bit
under the radar too, which gets me a little bit more excited.
I mean, you just again, mean like nationally?
Yeah, nationally. Yeah. I mean, Sam Vecenie didn't even have him
in the top 100
in the draft.
Stupid, yeah, or top 60, I guess. Yeah, that was stupid. I mean, you know, he's been top 20 on a couple other mock drafts I looked at, but he's not going to have any physical limitations. Like Chandler had some, obviously being so short, but Phillips, I mean, he could leave Tennessee as our best one and done player ever. As our most talented player we've had since Tobias, maybe. Like, I mean, like, he has that potential. And them talking about him having a work ethic that matches that gets me pretty excited. And, of course, going into last year, we didn't really know who the leader of the team was. I remember, like, at the end of 2 years ago, Josiah had took the blame for the team kind of, you know, falling apart against Oregon State. It was like, as the leader of this team, this is my fault. We're all kind of like, wait, what? You're the leader of the team? But now, like, he proved it last year. Like, yeah, he is the leader of the team, and he's back. And, like, you have leadership, and you have talent, and you have likable players. I'm really excited for basketball season. Am I pumped for March and, like, Rick Barnes? Well, not exactly, but I'm not going to, you know, bring up the negative just yet.
I am.
And then, like, baseball.
This is the year. I believe in him.
And then baseball. Obviously, with Tony Vitello, like, going to have some new faces. Obviously, replacing most of your offense, but the pitching's still there, and the man in charge is still there. So, like, we're in a really good place for all of these sports, and it's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. Any other thoughts on Tennessee basketball before we move on, Chuckles? I'll take that as a no. Cam, what about you?
No, just excited. They, like you said, we should have a pretty good record in the non-conference games, and I think set up for a pretty big year.
I will say the only disappointment is that we don't have a big home game in the early slate.
In the early slate?
Because you get Texas in January, but
yeah.
I feel like it's always fun to just have that big December home game.
Yeah, that was really nice last year.
It kind of gets the juice. Yep. Like, to put that in December, football season has just ended, and now, you know, fans can immediately turn to basketball, put their whole attention into basketball, and bam, you have that big marquee home game. So I feel like that's lacking from the schedule. That's my only real disappointment, but yeah, you still get the battle for Atlantis. Like, you still get to go play Maryland. You still travel to Arizona.
Would you rather have the big home game or get to play, like, in a nice preseason tournament? Because we didn't get to do that last year. And I do think this battle for Atlantis feels pretty good. So, like, I think that's the switch you made. You don't want to overload yourself with quality opponents. So, like, I think I'm okay
for
this year.
And, like, you have to go to Arizona, too. Yeah. Like, you owe that to them. You have to play that game against Colorado.
I think I would rather have the preseason tournament.
I mean,
I think I'd rather get to go
to
Atlantis.
I'm obviously very excited for the battle for Atlantis.
Because you're going to be there.
Yeah, for multiple reasons.
Did you find tickets?
Yeah, I did find tickets. Turns
did you buy
out,
tickets?
What?
Like, have you?
Yeah. So it turns out the only way to get tickets is through the, like, Atlantis app through, like, 16 obscure button presses.
Okay.
But it's there.
But you found it. What about you, Ken? Would you rather have a big non-conference game like Arizona or the Battle for Atlantis?
I'd say like Battle for Atlantis, because usually there's decent enough names in that that you have a chance to play. And then I think it also gets a little bit more national coverage just because it's an extended thing. And, you know, they usually have contracts with the TV, like ESPN and stuff, to make sure those games are televised.
I also like the Battle for Atlantis because it's like on TV like Thanksgiving week, and like you have, you know, some games during the middle of the day. Like, it's nice to be included in that.
Feast week is top 3 weeks of the year.
I won't go that far, but I enjoy Feast Week.
I'd say maybe top four.
Yeah.
Feast Week.
It's going to be awesome this year.
Opening week of March Madness, Champ Week, and like Rivalry Week in college football, top four.
Thanksgiving Week's going to be elite this year with the Battle for Atlantis, NFL,
Divisional
World
Round of the
Cup.
Playoffs is the number one sports week of the year.
No, that's a good one.
You can't beat that. Divisional Round of the Playoff Week. That's
not really.
No, that's the best week. You get four games.
But it can easily just turn into the worst week.
Well, if your team loses, sure.
Yeah, if the Titans lose,
If
the Titans lose the first
game
of the week.
If your team wins, when we beat the Ravens, I was on top of the world during that division week.
I just feel like if the Titans lose the first game, though, I'm not even going to watch the other three, and then it's just the week that I like wanted to die.
Well, if your team gets knocked out in the first week into March Madness, you also lose interest. When I say you, I mean like just a fan. I lose interest.
That's fair.
When Tennessee lost to Oregon State, I didn't want to watch another game. And I even like that Tennessee team that year. Team was very frustrating.
I was ready to do violent things.
I'm just saying, if you're going to talk about sports weeks, you got to put the NFL is king for a reason, and the divisional weekend is the best they have to offer. And honestly, like wild card weekend's probably like in the top 5 weeks as well, because again, NFL is king.
I also just, for me, like the best
really
week
like
in sports
the AAC
is just the next one.
Whenever I get to watch the Memphis play UCF for that title.
I mean, the American Conference tournament has given us some great moments.
I was laughing really hard at Hard Knocks when Aiden Hutchinson was just slandering this guy for deciding to go to Memphis.
See, came across like a jerk.
I didn't think he was slandering
him. He was like, you went to Memphis? You had offers from all these schools and you went to Memphis?
He came across as a jerk. Oh, my dad's rich. He played at Michigan. Yeah, we get it, bro. You hit the genetic lottery. Good for you. This poor guy was trying to cover a different country. He didn't know better.
I will say, like, the little deep voice guy, the narrator, whoever that is, by the way.
Still the same guy does NFL films, right?
Yeah, I don't know who it is.
Is it a different guy? He's got a golden voice, though.
I would love to just
he's
have
next
him,
up after Vince Scully.
Like, speak to me while I sleep. But
that's weird.
Sounded weird the way that was put, yeah.
You always find a way to make it weird.
You could have just said, like, narrate my life. Or
you always find a way to interpret it weirdly. No, I just meant, like, to that guy to just tell me a story every night before I sleep. Yeah, that'd be
okay.
You never have your melatonin addiction would never have been necessary.
Yeah, the good news is there are plenty of those options available on YouTube.
No, that guy, though. I want him to just say football things.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll just start with football.
But I do love that they were hyping up Aiden Hutchinson. They're like, and they think that they have the real deal. And it showed a clip of them, like, the Lions coaches in their little war room. And they're like, yeah, man, we think about this guy. Like, what do we think? We think this is a hit. Like, we think this guy can't bust. This is going to hit. And then they just showed him getting his ass whooped by a Penei Sewell for, like, 7 out of the 8 reps. Didn't really look good in any of the clips they showed.
I have nothing
except for him singing Billie Jean.
Yeah, it wasn't that good of a performance.
It wasn't
either.
It was like teammates had his back.
He was smart though because he picked a song that everybody knew. Yeah. And
before you got here, Charlie said he didn't like Michael Jackson's music.
It's not good.
I've never heard anybody say that in my whole entire life.
I don't think I have either.
Really? I didn't know that was that unpopular.
That's a hot take.
Yes. He's like the unquestioned king of pop.
I think he's awful. Like,
I think he's awful?
Again, 2 to 3 songs that sound all right, but most of them to me are just like, this is awful. Like, this guy's just, hee-hee, ha, ha. He just does a lot of, like, high-pitched breathing.
What a take.
Half of his
That's
songs
how
are
good
just high-pitched breathing.
That's how good he was. He could do high-pitched breathing, and it was still a bop.
Oh, yeah. Let me go, you know, pay $200 to watch a pervert grab his crotch and scoot backwards on stage while he breathes into a mic.
Well, first
hey,
of all,
we're not talking about Elvis
dead.
Here. No, Elvis wasn't.
First of all, he's dead, so nobody's paying $200 to go see him anymore. But those tickets be going way more than $200.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Anyways, let's move on.
Do you think I didn't know he was dead?
Well, actually, I thought it might be 50-50. I didn't know if you knew or not.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't mean like in the present tense. People are currently buying tickets.
Well, $200 tickets back then.
I think people would spend $200 to see a hologram performance of him. I think you would have people do that.
You'd have people. I don't know if you could sell out anything.
I think you could sell out some. I think people are that absurd.
Some people think it's too demonic, to be honest.
I'm very out on holograms of dead people. They freak me out.
Yeah, let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. I love these updates from camp. Killer 7-on-7 for the Saints offense inside the red zone.
Ooh.
All four of Andy Dalton's passes were touchdowns. Two to Michael Thomas. Just had another Taysom Hill for a score.
Well, let me guess. He ran a couple slants?
They worked for Michael Thomas, Cam. Whenever he's on the field, he can catch a lot of slants. I'm buying Saints stock. Mark it down. Saints stock.
I'm buying Michael Thomas stock.
Okay. I bought Michael Thomas stock last year in fantasy, and
yeah,
I'm gonna buy it this year.
He never hit the field. I was like, oh, you know what? I'll stash him. I'll get him low. Just took up a roster spot. I had a bad fantasy year, needless to say. I'm not a very good fantasy football player. Don't take my advice. On the flip side, another update from Pittsburgh Steelers camp. As Mitch Trubisky not having a better day so far. Pass under pressure, team period. He underthrows Anthony Miller on a deep route. Next play, he goes to throw the ball, and the ball slips out of the back of his hands. I just love the Mitch Trubisky updates.
Oh, boy.
I want to see how poorly that take ages for Charlie this year.
Which one?
Just the Pittsburgh Steelers love. And, you know, there wasn't too much Mr. Trubisky love, but I just want to see.
I was going to say, I feel like I made it pretty clear that I have him ranked as, like, 35th in the NFL.
Yeah. But just that, like, hey, he can't be worse than Big Ben.
And there's also reports coming out saying he's pulling ahead in the QB competition.
From all the
How bad is everybody else?
Did Mason Rudolph have two balls slip out of the back of his hand?
It may be.
I will say between Mitch Trubisky potentially being a starting quarterback and Carson Wentz still being a quarterback that's going to start that was actually sought after, I would be sick if I was one of these other backups. I'd be sick if I was Jimmy G.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have Seattle, you know, run out with Drew Lock and Geno Smith whenever they're trying to tank, like, presumably.
Yeah.
It's another thing to see, like, Washington try to be good and have Carson Wentz, or the Steelers try to be good and have Mitch Trubisky. I would have wished that one of those teams would have came for me if I was Jimmy Garoppolo, because I think we all agree he's better than both of them. That seems like an obvious take there to say he's – Jimmy Garoppolo is probably somewhere between, like, 16 and 20th. Best quarterback in the league, I would say.
Apparently yesterday, Pickett threw two interceptions, bobbled snaps, and lined up wrong on one play.
Jeez, man. That's the bad news Bears.
Bobbled snaps, is that because of his small baby hands? Or
maybe.
Or because he tried to take a snap from the center whenever
he
was lined up under the guard.
The center and he, yeah.
Tried to take a snap from the center, and he was actually under guard. Or like, hey, you have to come under center now, and he's only used the shotgun.
That's my only guess.
I had
of
Jimmy Garoppolo
at 23
for the record.
23 seems too low.
Maybe.
Would you have ahead of him?
I think really, though, it was like he could be slotted anywhere from like 19 to 23. And
name the quarterbacks 22 to like 18.
22, Trevor Lawrence. 21, Zach Wilson. 20, Jalen Hurts. 19, Baker Mayfield. 18, Gardner Minshew. 17, Kyler Murray.
Are you just trying to like project?
It's both a reflection of what they've done and a projection of what they will do.
What the hell does that mean? You can't do both.
Well, they're both factors in one ultimate rating.
But which one matters more?
Because there's
no way you could, then how the hell do you have Zach Wilson ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo?
His projection severely outweighs.
So projection
Jimmy G's.
Matters more for his for him because he's younger.
About 50-50.
How are you projecting Zach Wilson just because you saw like his draft stock? Because
I'm a big Zach Wilson guy.
Because of what he did like in college.
Yeah, I mean I was just
there could have been much in the NFL last year that made you think, oh, I'm a big Zach Wilson.
I was a huge Zach Wilson guy when he was a prospect. Also, I will say that I made
There's
this
no
list.
Way Zach Wilson's better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
I made this list immediately after he
no.
reportedly fornicated with his mother's friend, and that might have had an influence.
That was long enough to get him up to number 20?
I mean, he was going to be at like.
Get the dog in him.
He jumped from.
I mean,
from,
your age, Zach Wilson with that money, it's kind of sad if you're going for the 45-year-olds, to be honest. It's not that. It's not actually
working
that
for
cool.
Young gravy.
It's not actually that cool. It's something that we've made in society seem cool, but it's not actually that cool.
If you're doing a little bit of both, if you're dabbling here, dabbling there.
Have some respect for your mother. Keep going up over 20. Not your mother, Charlie.
Over 20, 19
mother.
Baker Mayfield. Or 20 was Jalen Hurts. 19 okay. is Baker Mayfield. 18 is Gardner Minshew. 17, Kyler Murray.
Gardner Minshew. Kyler, and then where are we at? Just give me to the top 15.
16, Jameis Winston. 15, Ryan Tannehill.
Okay. I won't argue, you know, Jimmy G over a lot of those guys. Zach Wilson, yes, and Gardner Minshew, yes. And
no, Gardner Minshew's a dog.
Quite frankly, if I'm trying to win games, I would rather have Jimmy G instead of Jalen Hurts, but I understand if you think Jalen Hurts brings more to the table and can run
around. If I'm trying to win games, I'd take Gardner Minshew over all those guys.
I don't think I would.
Not over Jimmy G, no.
Yeah, if I'm the Eagles and trying to win games, I would be starting Gardner Minshew.
Well, again, I'm not.
Yeah, but how many of those guys like could have managed their way to an NFC championship with the 49ers and with Kyle Shanahan's mind?
Mm-hmm. I understand that. I don't think that the guys we're talking about there could have done it. Jalen Hurts couldn't have done it.
Yeah.
You have to be able to make passes. He can't make passes. He can't throw the ball.
It's not like Jimmy G like is great at making passes either.
Well, I understand that. And again, I'm arguing for him being like 17th or 18th best. I'm not saying he's great at making passes.
I mean,
he's
I also
than
said
Jalen
that
Hurts.
Like there's not a stark difference between like 23 and 17.
I understand. That's why I'm saying I'm not really arguing about right. it because I think all of those are fair, except Gardner Minshew.
Which, by the way,
and right. Zach Wilson could be better than Jimmy G. Like, I mean, like I don't want to act like that's a crazy thought. Seems like though when you really like read the quarterbacks, seems like we got some pretty good quarterback play in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like if those are like your bottom, like the right where the bottom third starts, I can live with most of those guys.
It's just the severe drop off, really.
Like where does it fall off a cliff at? Is it Jimmy G? Is he the last of the guys that you can feel comfortable winning games with?
Right after Jimmy G, I have like Tyler Huntley and Mac Jones and like Jared Goff and like.
Okay,
Davis
so it does to me. It does fall off right. Yeah.
Huntley
Jimmy.
Above Mac Jones.
What?
You said you have Huntley above Mac Jones.
Yeah, I do.
And you have Wilson ahead of Mac Jones.
I think Mac Jones.
Mac Jones
stinks.
Won a game throwing three passes. Like I'm not going to give him too much credit.
Yeah. I went through the Patriots and man, the Patriots.
He had the best like ratings of all the rookies last year, didn't he?
As yeah, passer like, ratings overrated.
I also think he just had the highest floor, lowest ceiling kind of thing. So yeah, you put him into a better situation
right now,
too.
I'd take him over Zach Wilson.
That high floor,
at this exact moment in time.
Take him over Zach Wilson.
Like if you were starting a franchise, or I mean, building around a quarterback in your franchise, you would take Mac Jones over Zach Wilson.
Or are you just saying for this?
Well, one, I hated
or
Zach
if you just
Wilson
want to
coming
win
out
for a year.
Two,
it is a fair distinction.
Wilson does have a bigger potential, but yeah. I think I'd probably go Mac Jones.
Because if I want to win this
player.
Specific
I don't think
year, I would maybe I would probably be rolling with Mac Jones. But if I'm trying to win in the next 5 years, I mean, it's Zach Wilson.
And I'm just scrapping
hesitation.
It and drafting somebody else. That's what I'm doing.
Zach Wilson is going to prove you wrong.
Go ahead, Zach.
Have you seen the updates coming out of Patriots camp lately, like the last couple of days, or just how bad their offense has been?
I believe that. They don't have any receivers. They have nothing, I don't think.
They're talking about their offensive line can't block their defense, like how they were trying to do like a simulated scrimmage, and like they had two sacks in like one possession. And basically, like, they're a disaster, and like Mac Jones looks lost. And I don't know if it's because, like you said, they don't really have any receivers, or if their offensive line's just gotten old and they've kind of traded too many guys and like have lost other guys, or if it's like, hey, we got Matt Patricia running this offense and like he's kind of the coordinator here, even though we don't really have a coordinator.
I
like,
do think that's part of it. Is the lack of like almost structure in the offense is going to make it chaotic until you put somebody in position to do something.
It just seems crazy for the Patriots, who we've given so much credit to over the last decade, with obviously good reason. I mean, I'm not going to try to downplay their success. They've been the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much of that was Tom Brady, I think, is a fair debate. And I think as time goes on, we're really siding with Brady being kind of the reason that was the way it was, at least on the offensive side of the ball. But then, of course, they lose Josh McDaniels, too. And now you're looking around and, like, you got Mac Jones in year two, a guy who has a very low ceiling, a guy who probably needs to be coached as much as any quarterback. Yeah. And you're giving him Matt Patricia.
Yeah, like I don't think he's gonna have like a big growth or anything this year because of one the situation and stuff like that. Like I think he'll be at best what he was last year.
I think they're gonna be looking for a new quarterback. I think you're gonna have a conversation next offseason about like should they draft a quarterback or do you give Mac Jones another year? That's how bad I think
especially
they're gonna be this year.
Okay, yeah, if the record's bad enough.
Yeah, I think they're gonna be bad this year. I'm talking about selling stock, buying stock. I'm all out on the Patriots. Like I think they're going to be a train wreck. I don't think their defense is going to be good enough to play ground control games like they did last year against a soft schedule. Like I think they're going to be in for a rude awakening.
I don't think they're going to be very good either.
Speaking of training camp notes, some good ones coming out of Titans training camp this morning from Jeremy Fowler. He has an article on ESPN.
Okay. Jeremy Fowler, he just covers the NFL, right? Like, he's not a specific to any team.
Yeah, he's just...
You don't really get many of these reports from the Titans. You'll get, like, Truvon Davenport,
who covers
the Titans for
ESPN. I had to double take for a second. I can't believe a national writer went to Titans training camp and cared.
Okay, what do you got?
First of all, Robert Woods, again, we've heard it a million times, looking good, looking on schedule.
Yeah, I saw Peter King said he was back to normal, back to how
he should be. They're pleased with his leadership and his, you know, relationship with Treylon Burks. And both of those guys are looking pretty solid in camp. But the biggest report, quote, "The word I'm getting out of training camp, Ryan Tannehill has impressed the Titans, and that's not typical camp optimism." As my colleague Dan Granzino mentioned Tuesday, Tannehill has come with a serious edge after an offseason that tested his mettle. Talk to just about anyone in Tennessee about how players are performing at camp, and Tannehill's name comes up quickly. Woods, for one, said he's noticed how well he's throwing and running the ball, making the point that his speedy presence gives them options. He's been making good decisions, and the Titans have been very pleased.
Well, two things here. It's what we talked about with, like, here in Knoxville, where the coaching staff's kind of going out of their way to, you know, praise a couple guys, like Juwan Mitchell, for example, like, you know, both – the defensive coaches and Josh Heupel are both pointing out how good he's been. Is it because he's actually, like, improving and has a chip on his shoulder? Or is it like, hey, maybe a little bit of lack of confidence after last year and you're trying to, like, gas him up and make sure he's happy and comfortable and going to be ready to step up if it comes to it? You know, if he is off the bench, does he lose confidence, or are you trying to make him know, like, hey, even if you're not starting for us day one, we believe in you, you're making strides? With Tannehill, obviously, like, Tannehill's – I know he might not be online as much as some people, but, like, he knows how the fan base feels about him, especially after the Bengals game. And
if you can, sure. I mean, if you can help improve some of the toxicity, like, surrounding him,
right,
that helps.
So, like, if the players are not going out of their way to pick him up to be like, hey, Tannehill's ball and we got our quarterback back, he's got a different swagger. But really, it's like it's them trying to gas him up. Is it that? Or, like I said, like, this is – you're going to have as big of a chip on your shoulder as when you – you know, you left Miami and you were dead and you were a backup and you thought maybe my career's over. Like, you thought you would be lucky to have a chance to start in Tennessee because you thought, you know, I'm coming there, Mariota should be the guy. But then you come in and you prove it and, like, hey, you're back in the league. Like, I would imagine Tannehill this offseason has been as down in the dumps.
I mean, he had to go to therapy.
Right. I would imagine he's as down the dumps as he was whenever he got benched in Miami, if not more so, because at least then he could point to, like, man, my knee injury in Miami, or man, Adam Gase is an idiot. This time, there was no one else to really blame except himself. Like, the team gave him everything he needed. Like,
well, I mean, he could still sit there and blame injuries and
not in the playoffs, he can. There were no injuries in the playoffs.
Oh, I just meant general season
performance.
No. Okay.
We were the one seed.
Yeah.
If I'm him, I feel like I was the man. Like, I carried this team to a one seed despite all these injuries. But no, in the Bengals game, like, A.J. Brown balled out. Like, A.J. Brown barely didn't drop any butt passes. Julio Jones even gave you, like, 70 yards, like – yeah, the run game wasn't as great, but, like, the defense got 9 sacks. If you wouldn't have turned the ball over 3 times, you win that game.
I also do still put some of it on the offensive coordinator. Like, but the one pick that was supposed to be the RPO, the bubble route, like,
was it a bad
right
play?
Side,
sure.
That was on the offensive coordinator.
It was a bad play, but Tannehill still threw the pick. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
that's fair.
And ultimately, like, Tannehill, it's, you know, if you're a veteran quarterback, like, you,
yeah,
it comes down on you. You can say the play calling doesn't help you. And against the Ravens 2 years ago during the COVID season, I think the offensive coordinator cost them that loss more than Ryan Tannehill did. But against the Bengals, I'm not blaming anyone else for that except Ryan Tannehill. So, like, coming out of Miami, you could be like, hey, my knee gave up on me. Or, you know, Adam Gase. Or, like, this franchise was, you know, in the dumps. I want to start new. Last year, you really threw the season away. Like, if you don't throw an interception on that last drive, like, you at least go to overtime. You gave them field goal range, essentially, with 20 seconds left.
Memories out, John.
I know. It's tough.
Oh.
And that's why I'm still disconnected from football. Like, that put a number on me. Mm. I was one step away from joining Ryan Tannehill in therapy because that's how done I was with football. So what I'm saying, though,
I don't
like,
believe in therapy, or else I probably would have.
Nah, you believe in therapy. It's good to talk to people.
It's good for you.
Just go talk to people. Destigmatize it, bro. Just go talk. It's okay.
Bro, it's okay to tell your brother you love him.
Yeah.
Or I mean,
tell
I'm very cool with that. I tell people
or to tell strangers what's
time.
Going through your mind. It's okay.
But
doesn't make you less of a man. It makes you more of a man.
Gotta get it out sometimes.
Anyway,
but Tannehill,
with,
like,
all this being said, I mean, my whole point was, like, sure, you're trying to, you know, back your guy and show support because he was down in the dumps, but I still think we're going to get a much better Ryan Tannehill this year because now he has everything back in place for him to be successful. yeah, he's the same guy that threw the season away last year, but he's also the same guy that, you know, spent a season and three-fourths being statistically one of the best quarterbacks in football.
Oh, well.
So that's why, like, this report gets me excited because I still think that there's a possibility that he returns to that.
Oh, and I do, too. And I think Tannehill's going to respond to the adversity. I mean, I really do. But like I said, like, this is probably the lowest he's been. And how he responds, you can either, like, roll over and die, let your career die, and, like, you know, let them bring Malik Willis in and you hand over the job to him next year and the fans are crying, you know, wanting him to play. Or you can come out and you can get back to that offense that you have had, really, when healthy, the last 3 years in Tennessee. And I obviously hope it's the latter. I did see a stat I wanted to leave you with before I leave for the day. Only defensive lineman with at least 60 pressures and 30 run stops last season. Cam Hayward, 61 run stop, or 61 pressures, 33 run stops. Jeffrey Simmons, 66 and 34. And then, yeah, the GOAT, Aaron Donald with 109 and 40. Just double the amount of pressures of these other defensive linemen.
What in the world?
109. Like, Jeffrey Simmons is a stud at 66 and 34. You're like, man, I feel good about that. And then you see Aaron Donald, 109 and 40.
Holy cow.
He's a monster. But Jeffrey Simmons is the second best defensive lineman in the NFL.
I'm glad that that's the note you're leaving us with. I couldn't agree more. There was one more note from training camp. Kyle Phillips, again, they're raving about him, and they say he's earning some first-team reps already.
It's going to be nice to have a wide receiver that's just moving the chains. Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.